Hey everyone. This episode of Busted Stuff originally premiered on Spotify in February 2020, so some of the content may feel slightly out of place. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy.
Do you know what a group of pugs is called?
No, I don't.
Like the dog?
Yeah, No, I don't. What is it called? Apparently, do you need me to guess first, or?
If you'd like.
What would be a good name for a group of pugs? You have a pride of lions, right? A murder of crows.
A conspiracy of rabbit? No, raccoons?
A conspiracy of raccoons.
Is that right? Maybe it's a conspiracy of, like, weasels.
I like that.
I don't think that's right, but.
Maybe, like, something soft. Or, like, kind of cute.
Like a pillow?
A pillow of pugs.
A pillow of pugs? That's not bad. A cloud of pugs.
Pretty good. A cloud I don't like as much.
A cloud kind of makes me think of locusts.
Cloud implies that it's, like, I was going to say it implies it's flying.
Imagine, you know how there's, like, the biblical plagues? And one of them
was
locusts.
You're really on the plague beat.
No, this is different. This is a different plague.
Okay.
The biblical plague. There was, like, the frogs. There was the blood stuff.
Sure.
And there were some other ones. What if instead of a cloud of locusts, though, it was pugs? And so all of Egypt was just swarmed with pugs.
The iconography of Egypt would be very different. Imagine if all the locust symbols...
Are there a lot of them?
I assume, yeah.
I mean, cats are the big one, right?
Yeah, but also locusts are definitely up there.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you seen, like, locusts in hieroglyphs and stuff?
Yeah, I'd say, like, beetles and locusts.
Well, beetles are not locusts.
Okay, but you know what I mean. Like, yes. I think locust imagery is relatively prevalent.
What are you basing this on, though?
Completely anecdotal knowledge.
Like, I've never heard about...
Like, Wikipedia, YouTube video crap.
Oh, okay. Like that. But you have, like, actually heard this somewhere.
Yeah.
I can't tell if you're making it up.
I'm not. I don't think.
You're like, oh yeah, everyone knows about the locust imagery of, you know, post pre-Ptolemaic Egypt or something.
I mean, I don't have any, like, my knowledge of, like, Egyptian iconography goes to about the fifth grade.
Okay.
And past that, it's nothing.
Well, all I know is a lot of eyes.
Eyes, cats.
Spaceships.
Well.
Have you seen, like, Ancient Aliens?
All right, we're not going to do that.
Have you seen Ancient Aliens?
I have. And I really don't like it.
You know how one of them...
I used to really like it, and then I, like, you know...
Because one, I think, was it the pyramids or something? They were either hiding spaceships. Or there were instructions to how to build a spaceship.
Yeah, because, like, their location on the map is, like, I don't know, you can triangulate, like, where the aliens came from.
Okay, right. What if every ancient wonder was actually some kind of spaceship?
This is, like, National Treasure 3. Or something.
Yeah, so you have the giant pyramid. I don't even know what
Nicolas Cage needs to steal, like...
The pyramids?
He needs to steal the pyramids themselves.
Steal the pyramids. Wait, what is... what are the other ancient wonders?
Well, there's the...
That
the
are
Colossus.
Still around. Yeah, the Colossus of Rhodes, that's gone.
There's...
Was the library at Alexandria? Was it the lighthouse at Alexandria?
Maybe.
There was some kind of lighthouse going on.
I'm not sure. We could look it up.
But what's interesting, we could look it up, but we're not going to.
Okay.
What's interesting is that, think about all the ancient wonders that are no longer with us, because they took off.
Oh, they
Their spaceship
launched.
Protocol was
I
activated.
See.
So the Colossus of Rhodes, gone. He flew away. The Hanging Gardens of Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know why they were hanging, because they were spaceships. And then they flew away.
The Great Pug of the Western Sahara?
Yes.
Launched off the face of the planet.
Yes. Actually, a counterpart to the Sphinx, geographically.
That's right.
They were... I think the pug aliens and the pyramid aliens might have been the same species. The Sphinx is unrelated, though.
Yeah. That's just...
You know, that's just Egyptians doing their thing.
That's just the Egyptians.
Hey, let's make a Sphinx. Why not?
Yeah.
It is kind of crazy, though, how the pyramids are still there.
So, I actually saw this really interesting image of...
I think I saw this, too.
Of the pyramids. And it showed, like, modern-day Cairo.
Yeah.
And it had
all on one side of the pyramids was like the industrialized city, like the modern period, and then there was this like very specific angle where if you look at it, it looks like the pyramids are in the middle of the desert.
Yeah.
But apart from that, you can see that they're surrounded by like developed cityscape.
My favorite picture, it's a photo from a Pizza Hut, and someone's looking out the window, and they took a photo with the Pizza Hut logo, and the Pizza Hut logo is basically like on the pyramids, because there's a Pizza Hut like a 3-minute walk from the pyramids.
Nice.
And I think that's the greatest combination of past and present.
It's very real.
Yeah. Which pharaoh originally had the pyramids done? Was it like Ramses or something? I don't know any of the pharaohs.
Like I told you, my education on the subject doesn't move past the 5th grade.
Because there were a lot of pharaohs, but I think their overall game plan was eventually they're like, you know what's going to be here?
Pizza Hut.
Pizza.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, nobody out pizzas the hut. You know what the one pharaoh said?
No.
Nobody out pizzas the tut.
Oh. Oh, I'm disappointed, but also impressed.
Nice.
Nice work.
The photo I saw, it was Cairo, and the pyramids were just sort of emerging from, like, fog.
Mm.
And it was super misty. Did you see that photo?
No.
All right, we saw different photos on this mysterious website you mentioned.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
And there was the modern-day city, and the pyramids were just there, and they looked so huge compared to the rest of the city. And it's honestly crazy just the...
How big are they? I'm not... entirely sure.
They're big. I mean, I know before the Eiffel Tower, they were the tallest man-made structure.
Hmm.
So that would put them somewhere between maybe 600 and 700 feet, 800 feet. I think the Eiffel Tower is like 800 or 900 feet tall. No, maybe it's not that tall. Maybe we should look these up. But honestly, it doesn't matter. They're big.
If you're coming to this podcast for like facts, then you're in the wrong place.
I can't say I've memorized historical heights of big important buildings.
I can't say I've memorized historical facts of any kind.
Oh, what is that? But what I'm trying to get at is that it's crazy just the condition they're in. Like, I think they used to be sheathed in marble, and the marble has since gone. It was, like, poached away or more, like, eroded. But the fact that the shape is still very clear, and you think about, you know, 95% of other ancient ruins, how they're really just, like, you might be a little brick wall here, a column post there.
Hmm.
And there's just these full pyramids still.
I guess it's because, like, the shape of the pyramid itself is very much kind of stable.
From what I know about at least Roman architecture,
uh-huh.
All the stuff that survived because the buildings were repurposed. So a lot of old Roman temples became Christian churches, and then a lot of the temples that didn't get saved or repurposed, they just kind of salvaged them for scrap stone. But yeah, the pyramids are, like, the oldest thing I can think of. And they're also, like, the most intact thing.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a counterexample, but I can't. So, kind of proves your point.
There's a lot of old... I mean, like, the Pantheon in Rome, it's an amazing shape. That's probably my number one go-to for ancient structures that are very much intact. But the pyramids are, like, millennia older than that is.
There was a... Aren't, like, the ancient Romans as old to us currently as the ancient Egyptians were to the ancient Romans?
Yeah, there's something, I think, what's the classic one? Like, Cleopatra is closer to us than she was to the people who built the pyramids.
Oh, is that right?
I think that's what it's one of those, like, ooh, fun facts, you know?
Yeah. There's another one like that, but with dinosaurs. I don't remember what it is. I think it's, like, the T-Rex was closer to the Egyptians than it was to, like...
Oh, like then to the
Stegosaurus.
Yeah. Because the Jurassic period was like hundreds of millions of years long.
Mm.
And it's like that time scales.
And Tyrannosaurus was like Cretaceous. Yeah. I love dinosaurs.
Same. I was a big dinosaur.
I was a big dinosaur kid.
Like when was your dinosaur phase?
I couldn't point to an exact, like probably. Like, 7.
Yeah.
7, 8, 6. Around there.
Did you have, like, those encyclopedias?
Oh, yeah. I probably still have it in my basement. It's like a bucket full of plastic dinosaur toys.
Same.
Yeah.
Had those.
We had an animal bucket and a dinosaur bucket. And I know dinosaurs are animals, but
Yeah.
They're, in the mind of a child, they are distinct.
Well, no, they're dinosaurs.
That's right.
I mean, mammals are inferior to dinosaurs. Everyone knows that.
If I could be a dinosaur, probably would be.
Oh, okay. Like right now?
Yeah.
I mean, what would happen if you became a dinosaur? I mean, someone.
What does it mean to become a dinosaur, though? Like, what if I was still like human shaped generally, but just became a dinosaur instead of a mammal? How does that work?
So you now lay eggs and you're cold blooded.
Sure.
And you're potentially carnivorous only.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really weird. Do you grow scales? Or are you still a person? There's a lot of mammalian traits that you would lose.
Right.
So you would just have skin.
Yeah.
And nothing on that. You might grow feathers, because most dinosaurs were feathered.
I'm open to it.
So you would have feathers, you'd have no hair.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the cold-blooded thing
what is... What I'm getting at is that I think...
You think you look like a dinosaur?
I don't...
It's not very nice.
I don't have any place to take this. This is a failed bit.
But if there was a dinosaur that appeared suddenly, now if a T-Rex just suddenly kind of walked into Central Park one day or something, I mean, that would be very different.
You're right, that would be very
different.
The
dichotomy there is quite apparent.
I think, yeah. One, thank you for your astute observation.
Of course, I seek to provide bespoke observations using a synergistic, holistic approach. You were saying?
Anyway, so I think one thing that I like about dinosaurs, it's not necessarily like the dinosaurs themselves, but the aesthetic surrounding it.
Okay.
So, you know, like, I think recently dinosaur, like, science, archaeology in general, has a more, like, accurate picture of what dinosaurs look like. They're more bird-like. Feathers. They're probably colorful.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking of, like, the 90s or 80s depiction of dinosaurs where the entire, like, landscape is kind of desolate and volcanic and weird.
Yeah.
Almost alien. And, like, all the colors are kind of browned out.
Yeah.
And greened out. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, and I love the Godzilla-like dinosaur.
Exactly.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
You know, feathered dinosaurs just do not... Like, a T-Rex with feathers...
They're not as exciting.
It makes me think of, like, Elton John. You know, he wears, like, those feathered capes. It's like a T-Rex is trying to be Elton John. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
you can't sing. You're a T-Rex.
That's right.
And I think the feathered... The whole feather thing, it's cool that the science is now there. And the paleontology has been able to find that.
But I think the wow factor is decreased.
It's like,
slightly.
Oh, so they're just, like, weird birds
they're
now?
They're just birds.
It's like, I want them to be Godzilla.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, I don't know if...
I don't... Yeah, sorry.
There was, like... The sauropods, so like, you know, Apatosaurus or Brachiosaurus or Diplodocus or whatever. I don't know if they had feathers because they were the four-legged massive ones.
Yeah. I think they didn't.
So that's pretty cool. I mean, they were closer to like, I don't know, a giant... What's a big lizard right now? Like a Gila monster?
Maybe. I think kind of like Komodo dragon, but they're not really that similar.
Yeah, but, like, that kind of look, though.
Yeah.
Skin-wise. Like, that'd be cool.
I'm just saddened by the lack of, you know, giant, scary monster reptile, Tyrannosaurus rex, or, like, Spinosaurus.
Yeah, but, I mean, then again, imagine, like, an ostrich, but really thick and giant. That'd be pretty scary.
It's pretty scary, but I don't know. You know what I'm saying.
I mean, they could be really cool looking, too.
That's true. I guess it's all speculation.
Yeah. Well, until the time machine. I think time machines... Brief tangent here on time machine policy. I think as long as you don't go back to any human times, you're okay.
Yeah?
I think time machines could be used for, like...
Haven't you ever read A Sound of Thunder by Ray Bradbury?
No.
You haven't?
No, I haven't.
Oh, wow. It's a...
Enlighten
it's
me.
A science fiction... short story about the exact situation that you're talking about.
Mm.
I don't know if you want to keep continuing.
I'm curious.
Okay, so essentially there's this guy. The guy goes to this time machine shop and is like, I want to go on a safari for dinosaurs.
Cool.
And then so he goes back and the time machine has this cool like platform thing where so they go back in time and they're not allowed to touch anything. They have to do it very, very cleanly.
Cool.
So when they kill the dinosaur, they can't take it.
Wait, they kill the dinosaur?
Because they're on a safari.
Oh, okay. Well, violates Article 2 of my policy, so continue.
Okay, but when they kill the dinosaur, it has to be a dinosaur that is already set to die in that exact moment.
Okay.
So that they're not actually changing the timeline.
Okay.
And they're not allowed to step off the path, off of the time machine's path, okay. So that they don't, crush any
standard,
bugs.
Standard time.
That sort control. Of thing.
Yeah.
And in the end, the person who went on the safari accidentally steps 1 foot off the path into a thing of mud.
Oh, and someone finds...
And so he steps off the path when he gets scared by the dinosaur.
Yeah.
And then he steps on, and everything seems to be generally okay, but they go back into the time machine. They killed the dinosaur fine, and, like, the time wasn't messed up. He goes back in the machine, and he looks under his boot, and he crushed a butterfly.
Get it? Because it's the butterfly effect?
It's the butterfly effect. And if I'm not mistaken, that might be the origin of the term, because this story was in, like, the 50s.
Wow, that was...
So that might actually be where it came from. I'm not sure. It might be wrong. But, so he comes back, and all of, like, the language is all messed up. It's all different. It's, like, it's a weird dystopia.
Did modern day...
Modern day is completely different.
And you never find out why?
No, because he crushed the butterfly, and that set off a chain reaction.
Would the butterfly's death affect the asteroid that presumably wiped out the dinosaurs? Because I feel like the asteroid is a really convenient reset point, and so you don't really have to worry about.
Well, what if
unless
that,
you they did so, someone find his footprint? Because if they could find a fossilized footprint, that's the only thing I can think of.
Well, I think it's saying like evolutionarily, like that butterfly. Like, the death there caused, like, some chain reaction in a loss of, like, genetic code. Because that butterfly was, like, the ancestor to something, and that was the ancestor to something. And that just meant evolution happened slightly differently. And so human society was all generally there. Like, it was all pretty much the same.
Okay.
But things were just kind of off. Like, language was slightly different. And
was the word for butterfly the same?
Like, he couldn't understand any of the language.
Oh, okay. That sounds more than slightly different.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought it was really interesting.
Okay, well, that being said...
Yeah.
What was I trying to say?
You were talking about
time
machines.
Time travel.
And how it would be okay if you went back to where there are no humans. And I was explaining why it
so
wouldn't be.
So, you do it.
Okay.
But there's a lot of different things that you have to make sure to abide by.
Right. So, kind of like in the story.
In the story, but just don't... do it wrong.
Don't mess up.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's so dangerous.
That's like space travel.
Sure, but you're not risking
that's why you have checklists.
But you're not risking other people in space travel. You're only risking yourself.
Well, and the crew.
And your crew. But you're not risking all of humanity.
I think the same logic applies, though. The checklist logic.
Okay.
And you're not really risking humanity because humanity won't know the difference.
That's so messed up.
But it's true.
Oh, God. Oh.
And that's why, obviously, you do it in secret at first, and you don't let the public know, because everyone will get mad.
Mm.
So you start off with your top-secret time travel to study the dinosaurs and for no other things. Like, no other usage besides pre-human studies.
Interesting.
And ideally, the time machine...
And no commercial use. Because in the story, it was commercially, like, he bought a ticket to go hunt a dinosaur.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah.
You'd have to disguise it as, like, paleontologists made a breakthrough today.
Oh, you'd have to hide it from
the fossil record or something.
Wow.
Yeah, make it really, really secret.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you can't trust people with time travel.
That's right.
This obviously is a massive setup for complete failure, but what I'm trying to say is I really want to go back in time and see the dinosaurs.
Welcome back to Busted Stuff.
Yeah.
That was our intro.
That was our intro. And... Do you know what a group of pugs is called?
A time machine of pugs?
No.
A thunder of pugs. Oh, I like that one.
A thunder of pugs.
A thunder of
That's
pugs.
That's actually kind of close.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you actually had an answer.
I know the answer.
What is the answer? If it's not like... did we say? A hug of pugs?
We had a cloud.
A cloud of pugs.
A pillow, a thunder now.
I liked a pillow.
A time machine. No, it's actually a grumble.
A grumble of pugs.
Yeah.
Nice.
And it's like rumble, thunder. Mm. I thought it was kind of close.
Yeah.
But...
I'm John.
No, I'm Tommy. I was wondering, though, you have a grumble of pugs. Yeah. Is there a word for a group of humans? A flock? A civilization? A state?
A state of humans? A community? A village?
A community, maybe? A tribe?
A tribe of humans?
I
could see tribe being it.
Yeah. I mean,
a family?
A clan?
A clan?
I don't know, though, because I feel like there should be a more specific word.
A village? A town? A hamlet?
Yeah, because...
An abode?
No.
A residence?
A residence sounds like, a residence of parakeets or something. That sounds like a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you call a group of humans?
A murder.
A murder of humans?
A murder of humans.
Okay. But no, it's got to be something.
Should we look it up?
I think we should grant.
Okay, in the meantime, while I'm typing on my phone, make the funny.
Well, I already had a great joke today with my no one out pizzas the tut, so I think I kind of peaked there.
No one out pizzas the tut.
That's probably the greatest pun I've told in the past 2 days. And I can't remember a pun I've told before that, so. What's something that's funny? I can't think of anything funny on the spot.
It's just a group.
That's it?
Clan, community, crowd. That's kind of it.
Well, which one is it?
That was on researchmaniacs.com, so maybe it's not the most definitive thing. How do you feel about Quora?
What?
Quora?
Honestly, it's fine.
Okay. June 14th, 2015.
Excuse me.
Here are some more. Tribe, troop, group, town, so there's not a definitive one. Then.
Okay, so the answer is no one knows. So who decided that, a group of pugs is a grumble? I think these are all made up.
Yeah?
Honestly, these group names exist to be fun facts.
I really like them. They are really fun. I'm just throwing it out there.
They are fun.
They kind of sold me.
But what do they do? Is someone in a lab studying...
Can't you just have something for the variety of it?
I mean, yeah, that's all of English. I think that's enough for me. I guess it adds specificity, but...
I just looked up animal group names.
Oh, there you go.
Are we going to do this?
I guess we are. What do you call a group of crabs? Isn't it something weird?
I'm not sure. Hold on.
Okay. Well, while John's doing
crabs isn't on the list.
Really?
Yeah.
That was a bad list. I remember crabs being a cooler one. Or maybe it was lobsters.
Group of crabs.
Yeah. In case you're wondering why my voice sounds froggy, it's because my voice is...
The cast of sore. Crabs.
A cast of crabs?
Yeah. That was less interesting than I thought it was.
That is really... Okay, we can...
We'll stop with this. Yeah. This isn't worth doing.
Wow, this was terrible. I hate it.
How crusty.
It's like crusty.
You only
the
get
crusty
what
crab.
That, you only get what that means if you listen to last week's podcast.
Yeah, but it's been well established that there is a listening homework requirement.
Yeah, you listen to one episode, you need to listen to all of them or else you won't get any of the jokes.
Yeah.
Besides for all the ones you don't need to
get. Honestly, most of the jokes are pretty... What's the word?
Self-contained?
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't do a lot of self-reference on this one.
That's true.
Besides when we do.
Yeah, well, we do a lot. It probably happens at least once or twice an episode, but the majority of the bit, you can usually kind of catch on. Well, it's hard to catch on because they make no sense. But they usually start from zero, and they kind of build negatively or positively. And you don't really need to come in with any outside variables.
That was very... scientifically articulated.
Was it?
Yeah.
Well, what can I say? How's classes going?
They're going all right. I mean, how about you?
Well, that's not an answer.
They're
all right. I mean, no. Yeah, I gotta get more than that.
Okay.
I'm gonna be that parent.
It's like, no, that's not good enough. Tell me more.
Tell me more. I mean, I think every parent does that.
Yeah, I'd say so.
My parents definitely did that.
Yeah.
So? What, it was just all right?
Yeah.
What am I paying your tuition for?
We're not doing...
No, we're not. All right, no.
So, classes, I'm in... We're talking about Machiavelli in...
Oh, no.
Talking about Machiavellian elements of political theory. And it's pretty interesting. I don't really agree with him on a whole lot, but, it's worth reading. Do you have any experiences recently about Machiavelli that you'd like to share?
No.
No?
No, okay, I don't.
Fair enough.
Have you ever... You know Machiavelli's like that one portrait of him that is the go-to portrait?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about that, but his face doesn't look human. It has
a lot of those old portraits don't really look that human.
But that one stands out. Like, there's something about the movie The Eyes. I have this image that the eyes are, like, there are no pupils. The whole thing is just black. Or, like, it's...
He's too focused on security and political leadership to stand still for a painting.
What happened? He was a diplomat for a while. Didn't he get kicked out of Florence or something?
So he was a diplomat in the Florentine Republic, and then eventually, when the Medici came to power, he was tortured brutally and then exiled.
Yeah, that's rough.
And then he wrote The Prince to try and, you know, get back into power, get in good standing with the Medici, and he failed. And that's it.
And then he just...
And he died.
He died alone and despondent.
Probably.
Well, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
But hey, he got to class for him.
Good old Niccolo Machiavelli.
Yeah.
Is that his name, Niccolo?
Yeah.
Okay, nice.
I don't know if it's Niccolo or...
Niccolo Machiavelli? Niccolo, I don't speak Italian.
Me neither. But, I mean, if you're spending a whole class on Machiavelli, are you just reading his stuff and then...
We've spent multiple lectures on Machiavelli at this point. It's been like 2 weeks. We're reading The Prince, and then we're reading The Discourses, which is the Republican alternative to The Prince. Fun fact, Machiavelli was actually a Republican himself. He wrote The Prince, which is like kind of the guide to, you know, monarchical leadership in popular culture, but he himself was a Republican.
Like Ronald Reagan?
Like small R Republican, meaning supporting a republic.
Oh, so he wasn't...
Form of democracy.
He wasn't like Ronald Reagan?
No, that's... he wasn't really like Ronald Reagan.
You know, you could probably say that. You could say, oh yeah, Machiavelli was Republican. And someone would be like, oh yeah, I know.
Yeah.
You know, Party Lincoln.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He was actually Lincoln's Secretary of State.
That's right.
It's Machiavelli.
Yeah.
Fun fact, most people don't know that.
First Italian-born Secretary of State in the United States history.
Mid-19th century, there you go.
Contemporary realist.
What?
You know, Henry Kissinger.
Oh.
Realism.
Yeah, I should probably know that.
You should, yeah.
Yeah.
That's all right.
I don't know, that's like a... I don't really do the whole...
Machiavelli was also one of the founding members of Realist Thought.
I've got one for you.
Okay.
Realpolitik. That's a good one, right?
Sehr Deutsch.
That's a big...
Very German of you.
Yeah, but everyone loves the Realpolitik.
Yeah. I'm not always sold on it. But I get it,
that's such... You know how there's...
It's
like,
very, like, cool.
You know how there's, like, business school jargon, like, synergy?
Realpolitik is, like, the poli-sci equivalent
of
that.
It's like poli-sci IR.
Yeah.
Like, that's they are totally guilty of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Realpolitik, or what is it, ancient regime? That's not pronounced right, but they're, like, those kind of things.
Yeah.
In my book, just as bad as any business jargon.
I'd say that's fair.
Like, I don't need you to say realpolitik in my discussion section. Thank you very much.
Walks out the door.
There is one class where I've heard realpolitik. It has been brought up several times. And it's like, stop.
But yeah, so in general, talking about Machiavelli. Yeah. That's it.
I should probably take political theory.
Oh, I think you'd like it. You're kind of into the philosophy type of thing.
I guess.
Or at least you talk about it a lot. And so I think you'd kind of get some stuff out of it. We talked about consequentialism versus moral absolutism.
Okay.
When talking about Socrates versus Machiavelli. Okay. I have a midterm coming up in this class. I don't know if you can tell.
No. Is it an essay or a test?
It's 3 essays and a test.
Oh, that's 3 essays and
like
a test?
Like 3 short essays in class plus like... questions.
Ooh.
It's kind of not the best, but yeah, hey, what are you going to do?
Is it consequentialism versus moral absolutism?
Yeah, so Machiavelli was a consequentialist, but not a moral consequentialist. There's a difference. Machiavelli used consequentialist logic to like make his decisions.
It's so
meaning that he decided what action to take based on what outcome would happen from that action.
Okay.
But he didn't go so far as to say that because the outcome was beneficial, that meant the action he took was good.
Okay.
So he could still... So, like, if you had to, like, kill a political rival in order to secure your power...
Yeah.
Killing a person, not the best. But, you know, still got to do it. And that's kind of the basis of the prince. Sometimes you need to do evil.
Because of the pursuit of power. Because that's the point of politics. Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And then moral absolutism.
That's where, you know, killing the person is evil and you shouldn't do it.
Okay.
No matter what.
See, the only absolutism I know about is, like, absolutist monarchies. And that has nothing to do with this. It's just like Louis XIV, King of France. He was an absolutist. Like,
I am
he
the
was
state.
The center. Kind of, yeah, yeah. He was the... Yeah, he
Mr.
was the state.
Good old Sun King.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't Sun King a... Wait, no, Sun Maid is the raisin company, right?
I think so.
I think it's Sun Maid. I was just thinking, I haven't had raisins in a long time.
Mm.
Last time I had raisins, it was in oatmeal, and I haven't had oatmeal in a while.
Do you think Machiavelli would like raisins?
I mean, probably. Yeah. I mean, he probably ate a lot of grapes. I'm sure he liked dried grapes.
Mm.
So he would eat raisins.
I could see him working on a vineyard with his black raisin-like eyes.
That is accurate. That's probably why they were like that. Do you eat oatmeal?
I don't often. It's kind of... So oatmeal to me is like a thing that you're in the mood for like twice a year.
That's actually
like,
really true.
It's like really good that time you have it. Yeah, like once every 6 months. But besides that, it's just not...
You can't do it. I'll have oatmeal. I'll be like, wow, that was really good. And then like I'll be at my house and we'll be out of oatmeal. And then we get more oatmeal.
Yeah.
And then I get halfway through the box. I'm like, I don't really want oatmeal anymore.
Yeah. It's like suddenly... Yeah.
But I bring this up because I've actually been eating a lot of oatmeal recently. But okay. I've been eating cold oatmeal.
I really don't like... The only way I can stand oatmeal is hot.
So it's the dining hall in the morning. You know how they have like the salad bar and how it's full of fruit and hard-boiled eggs and yogurt and stuff? They have cold oatmeal.
Interesting.
At least I think it is.
You don't actually
I've been eating
know
it for a while. I assume it looks like oatmeal and it tastes like oatmeal. Unless it's some kind of like mousse.
Maybe it's a different grain meal.
What do you call it? Like muesli? Muesli? Muesli?
I don't know what
you're
saying.
M-U-E-S-L-I.
M-U-E-S-L-I. I don't know.
Okay, it's like a cereal. But this looks like oatmeal because it has a porridge-like consistency. They always have one with fruit and they have one with little things in it that look like small chocolate chips, but they don't really. I can't tell what they are.
Okay.
And what I do is I get fruit. Usually they have like pineapple and cantaloupe and stuff. I put a layer of yogurt on, and then I put cold oatmeal on it.
Interesting.
And that's the sweet portion of my breakfast to complement.
So really, you're kind of just having yogurt with some oats?
Well, no, it's mostly oatmeal.
Oh, okay.
I mean, the yogurt is just there to, like, add some more flavor, I guess.
All right.
And that makes me think, I bet yogurt and oatmeal would taste good. Because, I mean, oats and granola and yogurt.
I really like yogurt, and I have it more often than I do oatmeal, but I also don't have it that often.
Yeah, I mean...
It's good, though.
I think I have it, I mean, almost every day, my breakfast is eggs, potatoes, fruit, oatmeal, yogurt, sometimes tea.
Do you have breakfast every day?
Yes.
I don't. I often don't have breakfast, which is, I kind of wish I did, because I think I like breakfast food the most.
I'm always the most excited about breakfast food late at night when I'm going to bed. And then I wake up and I don't really want breakfast.
That's tragic.
Yeah, it's like I crave dining hall breakfast. Like, right as my head hits the pillow. Happened last night.
Wow.
I was like, I really want those slimy eggs. Like,
gotta love those O'Donovan scrambles.
You know, I mean, you know when you make scrambled eggs out of the stuff that's liquid in a can, like a jug? Because that's how they make their scrambled eggs.
Yeah.
And they're kind of watery.
Mm.
I kind of like that. I hate when, like, a continental breakfast egg style is dry.
Oh, dry eggs. Dry eggs are definitely worse than...
Runny, like, slimy.
Yeah.
The slimy, it's gross to look at, and egg water, when it mixes with my yogurt, I don't like it.
Not the best.
You know what's terrible? I'm pointing with my pinky right now. When the eggs are super rubbery, and then I get yogurt on them, there's something about yogurt on rubbery eggs that tastes like nothing, but it also tastes really bad.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. But, oh, actually, I have a food thing I want to talk about.
Okay.
My theory, in the majority of cases, food should be undercooked.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know if I agree with that.
The exceptions I can think of are maybe rice and pasta.
Interesting. I think I disagree with... It depends on the meat, but I think I disagree with chicken.
Okay, so chicken's rubbery.
Like, chicken would... Like, undercooked chicken is a lot grosser than overcooked chicken.
There was a time where I got food. You know that place upstairs in the dining hall? It's, like, right when you walk in, it's on the right.
Yeah.
They were serving chicken, and I got it. I was like, wow, this looks good. And I started eating it, and it was so undercooked.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, like, rubber. It was straight up rubber. I mean, I ate all of it because I felt bad.
Oh, my God.
So I didn't get salmonella, so it's fine.
That's good.
But, yeah, that, not cool. Mm. So I'll give you that one. White meat, I guess. Poultry should not be undercooked.
But red meat... It's okay. It's not...
Oh, red meat should be bloody.
I don't know. How do you have your steak?
I mean, steak, I would prefer steak rare.
Okay. Medium, I always go medium.
For a steak, I think medium rare or rare. Not medium, though.
No?
Yeah, for a burger, medium, just because it's ground beef. Mm. Okay, how about this? Undercooked food, unless there's a health hazard, or if it's something that starts, like, dry, like pasta or rice. Pancakes, I like it when they're goopy.
No, I'm not there.
I made pancakes a couple weeks ago at a friend's house, uh-huh. And the first pancake I did, it was super thick. So it was so thick that it couldn't get cooked through. Mm-hmm. And so when you cut it open, it was like still a little raw in the middle. That's so good.
I don't know, dude.
Think about it. You know when you like make cookies and you eat the raw cookie dough? It's like that kind of... It's like forbidden fruit, you know?
I usually don't do that.
Or when you make brownies and you eat the brownie batter that's left over. Like, you lick it off the spoon.
Yeah, all right.
That's maybe. Real good.
It's pretty good, but, like, you shouldn't really eat it.
No, I don't care if you shouldn't. It tastes better.
All right, fair enough.
Undercooked French toast, so good when it's, like, wet.
No. Yeah. No, the undercooked French toast, I'm not there. When have you ever had, mushy? Like, cold French toast? Like, where it's cold in the middle, but, like...
Maybe.
It's, like, the most awful thing.
I like biting into French toast and having it squelch a little bit.
Yeah.
That's really gross, but I think it's so much better when it's raw.
Nah, dude, I'm not there with you. I've had like undercooked French toast where like it didn't cook all the way through, and so it was like still kind of cold. It was hot on the outside, and like cooked enough where it was kind of hard to like get through with a knife.
Okay.
And then in the middle, it was like goopy, but like also cold.
I'll take that sacrifice.
It was not good. Especially when you expect it to be hot.
I guess.
Yeah.
But...
It was traumatizing.
I mean, what other foods get cooked?
Most.
Vegetables. You don't want to overcook them, because then they just get, like, too crunchy. You want them to be crisp, not crunchy.
Mm.
Or, I mean, you don't really cook fruit that often. Honestly, I think it mostly applies to baked goods. I want my baked goods to be soggy. Like, that's kind of what I'm going for here.
I guess it's better than burnt.
Yeah.
But...
Oh, how about this? I can amend my statement.
Okay.
Rather than saying all food should be undercooked, I can say undercooked is almost always better than overcooked.
Wasn't that your original statement?
I guess it was, but I was mostly saying, I think, instead of a neutral...
I think that's like... We'll have to check, but I think that's like that almost exactly what you said at the start.
Oh, see, I thought what I was kind of saying before was, rather than eat normal cooked food... I say we deliberately undercook all food. But now I'm saying...
That's not right.
If you were to...
I don't agree with that original take.
Like, if you were to stray off the neutral path of cooking things normally, I think it best to veer towards undercooked, not overcooked.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I do.
I think they're two different arguments.
What do you call a group of...
undercooked French toasts?
Of undercooked French toasts.
I'm going to say...
A squelch?
That works.
A glop?
There was a word I was looking for.
Okay.
A coven.
A coven? like of witches?
Yeah. I don't know why I was just thinking of it.
Oh my god.
Like the word squelch made me think of like a witch's cauldron or something.
Okay. What are some other like pretty messed up... I'm just thinking of, like, a coven of pancakes or something.
That sounds tasty.
It does. You know what? I'm there for it.
Oh, undercooked pancakes today. I already said that, didn't I?
You did.
Undercooked waffles? I don't know if I've ever had an undercooked waffle. This goes back to our last episode when we were talking about pancakes versus waffles. I don't think... I think I've just had more pancake experience in my life.
I'd say that's fair. I probably have the same. I had a waffle today.
Really?
Yeah.
For breakfast?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Did you put anything on it?
Syrup. That's about it.
Okay.
But it was really for lunch. Because I had it at, like, noon.
Oh.
Because I had class from, like, 11 to, like, 11:50.
Okay.
And so.
So you had the old noon waffle.
Good old
noon waffle.
Noon waffle. Syrup in those waffle enclaves.
Oh, right. Yeah, the enclaves.
Yeah.
Wait.
An enclave of waffles.
An enclave of waffles. There you go.
Nice. We made it there.
Well, I guess we came full circle with groups of things.
Mm.
But, oh, you know what we were going to talk about briefly was the Oscars.
Oh, were we?
I mentioned it, and you're like, do we have much to say about that? And I was like, not really, but we're going to talk about it anyway.
Okay. Did you watch the Oscars?
No. I mean, I read about them.
I watched it last night.
I mean, I know who
with
won.
With a group of friends, and it was kind of entertaining.
I mean, do the Oscars matter besides the actual winners?
No. But, so, I think the most, my favorite part of it, besides for, like, the win, I really wanted Parasite to win, and so I enjoyed it when it got Best Picture, but my favorite part of it otherwise was the out-of-nowhere Eminem performance.
Oh, yeah, it was
Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
So, they were going through a montage of famous movie soundtrack songs that had, like, gotten into popular culture.
Okay.
And so they were going through this montage. They had, like, Rocky's theme and the others. I can't think of
it. Yeah, okay.
You know cool, what I mean. Cool. But, like, and then they ended with 8 Mile.
Yeah.
With Lose Yourself. And they had this long, they stuck on it for a lot longer than the other ones in the montage.
Uh-huh.
And so we were all like, all right, what's going on here? Why are they sticking on 8 Mile? And then it just cut, and it went to the stage, and then Eminem rose from the floor, this 50-year-old bearded Eminem. Because the contrast of seeing the movie, and he's like,
he's
20,
like now. Yeah.
And now it's like he's such a dad.
Yeah.
And they had the track playing where, like, he was definitely mic'd, so he was rapping.
He just starts, like, rap battling Meryl Streep.
it was just the greatest thing, because no one saw it coming. And, like, half the room started rapping along with it, even though they knew it was kind of lame. It was pretty nice.
Oh, that's kind of cool, I guess.
Yeah, it was a good time. Was I one of the people rapping? You'll never know.
I'm going to assume no, but... Okay.
You don't know that.
But as for the winners...
Sure.
Joker.
Eh.
I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it either, and but I'm inclined to dislike
it. I want to do a segment where we review movies that we haven't seen. And my review of The Joker is, I don't like it.
No, I don't like it either.
And it's less because of the worry that it was going to cause violence.
Yeah, I don't think I don't think it did.
I don't think it did either. But I still think the message is pretty dumb.
It's one of the most We Live in a Society movies out there.
Yeah, and it's like, hey, let's depict mental illness, and instead of making it a image where we
instead of
humanize,
making a positive image,
instead yeah. of humanize, well, I guess the Joker is humanized, but at the end of it, he just shoots people and
no,
goes on
a
murderous
rampage.
He's a
psychopath.
Yeah, and
so it stigmatizes
like,
it further.
Yeah, and it's coming off of my abnormal psychology class last semester, we actually had to write papers about improper depictions of mental illness in media.
Mm-hmm.
It was this, like, a short paper we had to write halfway through the semester. And it's so common in most movies, like, someone has a mental illness and they're the crazy person, they're usually the antagonist. And Joker, yeah. I mean, as far as I know, in the movie, he is the protagonist, but then he kind of, like...
But he... Spoilers, maybe. I haven't seen the movie.
It doesn't
but
matter.
By the end of the movie, apparently he's, like, this weird folk hero.
Yeah.
But also, he started this movement where a bunch of people were, like, went to violence.
I guess he's an anti-hero?
I don't know. It just seems messed up.
But it's like, yeah.
And especially, like, it's 2020. Why are we still, like, making the person with mental illness, like...
Wow, that read like an op-ed title. It's 2020. Why are we still doing this?
Yeah, like,
nice.
Really? Why are we?
Nice.
See, I'm a journalist, guys.
Yeah, you are a journalist.
Oh.
Yeah, but it's like, and I don't know, it felt, and all the people who liked it, you know what told me a lot about the movie?
What?
YouTube comments love the movie.
Yeah.
And, like, YouTube comment is a very specific demographic.
Mm.
And it's the demographic that likes Joker.
Yeah.
It's not quite the same as the Reddit circle.
It's similar, but it's not quite the same.
I think it's younger and edgier.
Yeah.
I don't really know the soundtrack either, and I don't know why the soundtrack won. I think Thomas Newman's score to 1917 was really good, and I think it heightened the movie, the 1917 as a movie, much more than the Joker soundtrack could have, because Joaquin Phoenix was obviously the whole point of Joker,
yes.
Whereas 1917 was all about the cinematography, the music, the setting, sort of the atmosphere, and like...
And the soundtrack's a big part of that.
And the soundtrack is a huge part of that. I mean, actually on the radio it's short today, I'm going to play a few songs from 1917.
Very good.
Yeah. Just because they're
good. Look forward to that, listeners, unless you're listening to the podcast, in which case...
Well, you'll never hear it. That sucks. Yeah, so it's a bummer. I mean, pfft. Yeah. That being said, I hope there's someone listening to this who loved Joker, and maybe they can email us at bustedstuffpod@gmail.com.
I hope that's actually it. I don't
that is it, right?
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay,
it's nice. Also, it's in the episode descriptions, too, but...
We do have an email.
Yeah, we do have an email.
Have we ever checked it before?
I think I checked it once.
Nice.
I'll check it again. my take on Joker is it's nowhere near as good as people say it is, and I don't know why it got so many good, like... Because there are certainly a lot of reviews that aren't glowing.
Yeah.
And that's... excuse me. And that's why I think I've sort of built this idea in my head that it's a bad movie. And I think if I watch it now, I'm going to dislike it because I've already decided I dislike it. And I think that's okay because it's Joker.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
I'm just going to... The cognitive dissonance here is strong, and I don't really care.
You know, I really want to see Parasite. I haven't seen it yet, and now I'm really inclined to see it because I've heard that it's just incredible from every single person who I've talked to it about.
Yeah.
Talked about it.
And too. See, I'm inclined to like Parasite, and even though everyone says Joker's amazing, I'm inclined to dislike it.
Hmm.
Maybe that... I don't know what that says about me.
That's interesting.
But...
Maybe it's just a reflection of the culture in which you live.
Because, yes.
You know, Parasite swept.
Well, we live in a society.
We do.
The thing about Joker, I feel like everyone talked about how, like, social commentary-esque it was, but I don't think it was that deep.
Yeah, I mean, again, like, I don't know because I haven't seen the movie.
Me neither. That's why this is so funny. I feel like it wasn't that deep.
Mm.
I feel like the only reason people think it's deep is because it's coming from a superhero canon, and the expectation is much lower for a superhero movie.
I think that's reasonable.
Anytime a comic book movie deals with mature themes, so like Watchmen.
If it deals with mature themes, then it like has to be
deep. It elevates deep. It. It's like, wow, this is amazing cinema now.
Yeah.
And
not to say that comic book movies can't deal with mature themes.
But it's not the same.
It's not the same.
Usually.
I'd love to be proven wrong, but I don't think that movie's been made yet.
Yeah. And I don't know what it is. I feel like I had an idea of why I dislike Joker or what it stands for.
The memes are kind of annoying.
Yeah, they're fine, I guess. But I do like the one where he gets hit by the taxi. That one's funny.
I haven't seen that one.
Oh, it's like something good is happening and then it's like you're hit by the taxi. Like,
nice.
Here's... I can give you the standard format would be like, you know, winter break for college. And then it's, like, realizing that you have to go back to school or something, and it's, like, you getting hit by the taxi. Like, that's the vibe.
Right.
You know, it's, like, a good thing, bad thing. You know?
Yeah. I know those memes.
I'm in touch with the youth, you could say. Yeah, so that's I guess that's our review of Joker, having not seen the movie.
I think that's a fair review.
And having seen Joaquin Phoenix get a whole bunch of awards. Also, every one of his acceptance speeches...
His speech was so
strange.
This
one was about...
He
like
talked
the mistreatment
about,
of dairy cows?
So, it was actually about just, like, you know, equality in general, because he's talking about racism and misogyny and homophobia in the industry, and then, like, extending that to, like, ableism and animal rights, and it was, like, I think that sentiment, I think, was nice, but then he really lingered on the animal rights and mentioned artificial cow insemination. Like, those words in the speech.
Yeah.
And it was very strange. And it went on for a lot longer. It sounded like he generally knew what he wanted to say, but he just kind of went for it.
Well, I know he has... Whenever he's on stage, he kind of, like, picks a thing.
He's a weird guy.
He is a very strange guy. And I also don't, I really don't like it when celebrities do that. When they stand on the soapbox like that.
I don't really need to, it's okay for a celebrity to have their opinion, and it's okay for them to talk about it, but they don't need to preach it to me necessarily, because
it's like, take your shiny gold guy for playing a clown in a movie about white male rage. Did you see that SNL skit?
Yeah,
that was a good skit.
That was
funny.
Yeah.
If you don't know what we're talking about, there was this skit on SNL. It was during the Weekend Update where this one character, one of the cast members, she goes on, she does her review of the Oscars and how basically every nominated movie was about white male rage. It was pretty funny. Anyway, it's like, okay, good job, you're a good actor, but stop.
Yeah.
And I get it, you're a good person, you know, we'll validate you.
You can talk about it on Twitter all you'd like.
Yeah, just chill out.
This is
Just thank your producers and thank your friends and family and do the thing. Just obey the norms, please.
If the Oscars, cut out a lot of the stuff that, really no one seems to enjoy, it could be, an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Instead of, how long was it? 3 hours?
Yeah, just do a slideshow.
4 hours?
Be like, okay, the winners are you. Okay, thank you, good night. Drinks are free, bye.
I think most of the audience members there would probably enjoy that more, too.
Yeah. I mean, it's fun for everyone to dress up and do the red carpet. Keep that. Everyone likes doing that.
And I kind of like the montages of the movies and some of the music, but the jokes, a lot of the weird in-between bits are just...
It's just just get it over with, you know? Also, I think Adam Driver should have won Best Actor.
I agree.
I haven't seen Joker. I have seen Marriage
Story. I want Adam Driver to win Best Actor because he's just a really good actor.
He is... A really good actor.
Yeah.
You know why I think that?
Why?
SNL. Hmm. He's the best SNL host I've ever seen. Every time he's on, he's amazing.
Nice.
He fully commits and he makes everything funny. Even the bad skits, he makes them funny. Did Scarlett Johansson get nominated for Marriage Story?
She got nominated for...
Jojo Rabbit.
Marriage Story and Jojo Rabbit.
But she didn't win either?
Either, no.
But Laura Dern won for Marriage Story for supporting actress.
Yes. I'm really sad. Did you see Little Women?
No.
I really, really enjoyed Little Women. I thought it was a really good movie, and I'm sad that Greta Gerwig didn't get nominated.
Yeah, that's right, she didn't.
Yeah. That was a big point of contention. But,
And then what, Brad Pitt got supporting actor?
Yeah, Brad Pitt got supporting actor, Phoenix got best actor, Laura Dern got supporting actress.
Was Renee Zellweger
actress? What?
Was it Renee Zellweger?
Yeah.
For the Judy Garland movie?
Yeah.
I didn't know that movie
existed.
That
wasn't on my radar at all.
But I think she was the favorite.
Was she?
I thought so.
Oh, I didn't know
I read that somewhere. I don't know if it's true.
I was hoping that the person from Little Women would get it, but I don't remember her name.
Oh, yes. Was it Florence?
Oh,
or was that a different movie?
Or
was it
Saoirse
Ronan?
Saoirse Ronan.
Okay.
Yeah. That's her name.
Yeah. Honestly, who won 1917 won cinematography
and
visual
sound.
Effects, right?
Visual effects.
That was surprising.
Oh, no, Ford and Ferrari won sound.
I think 1917 won sound mixing or something.
I think so.
But I was surprised that visual effects didn't go to Marvel or Star Wars.
I kind of wanted visual effects to go to Marvel or Irishman, one of the two.
I think, honestly, I've been watching or been looking at a lot of the... special effects artists talking about the work they did for The Last Avengers, and some of the stuff they did was brand new and really groundbreaking. You're so used to superhero movies being all effecty, but they did some crazy the last, the big climactic scene.
Yeah,
I mean, that was literally actors rotoscoped out onto a completely CG battlefield.
Wait, do you watch Corridor Digital?
Do I? Did you watch the new one?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. That was crazy. I had no idea it was so...
Everyone listening should go to youtube.com/...
YouTube.
Corridor Crew?
I don't know. Just search up...
Look up
people reacting to VFX shots.
Look up VFX
shots.
Artists react and...
I think I watch one of those every week.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
I guess we should...
Should we wrap up?
We should start to wrap up. Well, we had a good Oscar conversation, I feel like.
We did. I think that was that was probably more successful than a lot of the earlier part of the episode.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
I also... I kind of like this reviewing movies we haven't seen.
Yeah, we should keep
that
as a bit.
I feel like this could be a thing that we do sometimes.
Let us know if you like that as a bit by rating us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts
and sending us emails.
And Spotify and sending us emails.
And request any movies that you think we should review that we haven't seen.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Are we going to become a, like, what do you call arts and media? Is that what this is now? We'll talk about, like, politics next week or something just to keep everyone on their toes.
Oh, I don't really want to talk about politics.
I'll make sure to do that then.
Okay, cool.
All right, cool. Well, thanks for listening.
Well, in conclusion, we got to do a little wrap up.
Oh, yeah. Well, so, a group of pugs is called a grumble.
A group of pugs is called a grumble.
Time machines are dangerous.
A group of... Well, a group of pugs could also be called a thunder.
They could, or
we
a cloud.
Today.
Egypt is cool. Undercooked French toast is good. And The Joker, or Joker, is not a good movie. That's about it.
I think we did it.
All right, cool. We'll be back next week.
See you then.
Bye.